this. And the question I was going to ask is, do we want to have the alternating Europe and China friendly time zones as well? We discussed that on the last call, but I just, you know, I want to make sure what you have in mind.
Okay, so that's a good question, Jim, right? And maybe, you know, that's another way to look at it. Like, we make it a monthly cadence once in US and once in Europe, right? So the question is, you know, we would need someone to lead the charter from that side, right? So I'm looking at Alejandro and Romeo. And, you know, if Jamil is here, he's not here, right? So someone, you know, from Europe to actually host the meeting in a Euro-friendly time zone, right? And lead the charter from that perspective. Mm-hmm. That would be great.
Okay. So we want a Europe host and a Asia host for the, can you describe two types of meetings, I think? So there's two time zones, but there, what were the two types of meetings again? Sorry to make you repeat yourself, but I just want to.
I mean, the other one, I would keep it separate. Like the crux is like, so like as part of these projects, right? The thing is, you know, so the projects are now part of, you know, Linux Foundation AI.
Right.
One of the requirements, you know, since these projects are there is essentially, you know, like if you go to a project page, then it has to be a TSC, Technical Steering Committee, right? Mm-hmm. The charter for this would be, you know, to talk about, you know, the enhancements in the project, what's happening, and, you know, there are external users, right, who are participating in this calls to be able to answer questions, technical questions or roadmap questions, etc., right? So typically giving an opportunity, right, we have external Slack channels, more so, you know, for AI Fairness 360, which is extremely active, right? But the goal is to, you know, have this once a month technical steering committee call and take up that slot. The trusted AI committee call itself, right? For the North America, right, we can have once per month. And if we do want, right, we can introduce another one and make it Euro-friendly time zone, right? So I would treat them as separate things, right? I mean, this is more specifically around the project. And this is, you know, typical any project community meeting,
yeah,
right? The committee meetings, you know, they could shift. One of those can shift then in the Europe time zone. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. So we have a technical steering committee meetings and we have community meetings. Each once a month, and kind of alternating Europe and Asia friendly times. Got it. Okay. I'll work with Sash Ruthie. She seems to be taking over, you know, a lot of the editing and calendar stuff. So I can work with Sash Ruthie to make sure we get this like on people's calendars and explain clearly. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. And I think it would be best, you know, if like, you know, if you can identify someone in the Europe time zone to lead that Europe time zone meeting, right? In a sense, like we have currently Orange is listed as a co-chair, right, from the Europe time zone.
Yeah.
So in terms of them, you know, being able to drive the agenda or any of the participants, et cetera, they want to invite.
Okay. Yeah. Do you know Romeo? Do you know Jamil? From Orange.
I'm on vacation in the shops wireless. I don't know. But I'm
connected. Oh, okay. So it's hard for you to talk. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know him.
Okay. We'll get you introduced to Jamil. He's very active in LFAI from Orange. Very, very active. So he's a good guy to work with. If you two could put your heads together on the Europe friendly PSC, that would be good. Do you agree, Animesh, that that's have Romeo and Jamil talk about the Europe-friendly one?
Yeah, that can be great. And I mean, even I don't know how much time you have on your calendar, Alejandro, right? I mean, you can you are from that time zone as well, right? And you do a lot of work around this area, right? So if you three can sort of, you know, be our eyes and ears and leaders on the Europe side, right? That can be great.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. I think more than happy.
The and Alejandro, I mean, I you do represent Selden as well. Is there any, like, there is a couple of libraries Selden also has in the space, right? Has there been discussion, like, for example, the Alibi Detect, etc., in terms of moving them in an open governance model?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I think that's definitely something we have been discussing and we have been quite interested about. You know, I think this is something that maybe we should actually pick up. Let me actually bring this up with Clive and Alex. So I think we even had that sort of like brief discussion around that. I think that would be quite good. And I think as also things calm down, we're moving sort of like to the next phase. I think it's going to be a good opportunity to have that conversation again. So yeah, let me pick that up with Clive and Alex.
Great. Okay. Thanks. And I think I did bring up last week, right? LFA has launched this, you know, video series, right? So, and you know, the charter is to you know, expand it, right? So, if you know folks are interested, it would be great to, you know, carry this forward, right, as we move along.
Would this be part of the technical steering committee or the community work, the video series there in the?
Sorry, Jim.
Do you see the that video series you just showed? Do you see that as part of the community work or the technical steering committee work?
No, it's not to do with technical. I mean, this was initially, you know, just crafted to. As part of the official announcement from LFAI that the projects have moved in open governance, right? This was, you know, essentially reaching out to the folks behind those projects, right? And recording, you know, what was the essence, why it was done, and how do they see the intersection of research, open source, and academia playing into it, right? So and then, you know, what role does a foundation play, like, so that's what Ibrahim is talking about, right? So it's, I mean, to begin with, it was sort of at that intersection of history plus, you know, what are the technical capabilities in these projects, right? And if you do need to run it in production, I mean, that was the last one, right, where or more in MLOps kind of scenario, how do you leverage it? But again, I mean, this is a free-flowing one, right? I mean, it doesn't have a technical agenda where, you know, everything has to be, you know, core technical in nature. Like, if you see, there is a talk with Michael Lichtman. He's a professor in Brown University, right? Very active in this space, right? And that's just around why is, you know, University of Brown, I mean, Brown University so interested in this, what are they doing, right? So it's the general, the charter is, you know, if someone is doing something significant interested in AI space and you know, we want to surface it, right? As long as LFAI is okay with it.
Got it. Understood now. Okay, it looks like Susan's ready to go on the principal stuff when we're ready for her. Yep. For them.
Okay. Cool. Thanks. Over to you, Susan.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, good. So what I'm going to do is share with you some minutes I wrote from our meeting yesterday, but Suad hasn't, you know, I wanted to get the okay from her, but it gives you an idea of what we're doing. We've listed out the timeline for up to the governing board meeting. To try and get the materials ready So that's here. We've decided that our principles have become eight. And you know, gain some more on the timeline. And I've been exploring how to communicate better so we get some reviews. It looks like the principals group aren't using Slack. I've been pinging them, you know, into the black void with no responses. So anyway, the other thing we wanted to do was to connect with the ethics training group. Is something happening with that? I looked in a couple of places. I looked on Slack and on the wiki. Is there something going on?
Mariana might know.
Oh, okay, great.
Mariana, hi. I see you're on from Montreal. Are you involved in that ethics course?
Sorry, say again. I can hear you. Cannot hear you very well. That's why I got rid of my video because.
Yeah, sorry. I should switch over to my phone. Susan, why don't you ask? I know.
Yes, Mariana, can you tell us about what's happening with the EDX project or the ethics training? Because we want to make sure the principles that we've been working on, or at least explore their inclusion in any training materials?
So I'm part of the Montreal Ethics Institute, but I don't honestly haven't been following that part, so I don't think I can help you on with that.
Okay, no problem. Okay, well, anyway, that's giving you an idea of what we're doing, because, and I can share a slide, let me see. You know, the next steps we're thinking about, you know, having, just assuming that we've got a document and some slides, you know, we've been talking about what our next steps should be. And so I'm sharing that with you. And Alejandro was on the call yesterday. So, you know, if you have any remarks, Alejandro, please go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Susan summarized it perfectly. I think just kind of like to emphasize on the point that it seems that everybody at the principles committee is now, aligned on the final principles. I think Sowad wanted to flesh out some of the further definitions that could then be used as prints. But I think it's at a stage where we can now start exploring how this can be published or disseminated. I think, especially as Animesh has been showcasing some of the website resources that have been created, the first most obvious area that we identified is it being published on the website, potentially having some of the webinars to talk through some of these resources. But yeah, it's just to kind of like emphasize that there is that sort of full alignment, and now it's going to be starting to explore what are the required final set of feedbacks from the broader.
Right, and we were also wondering, you know, like, do we ask the governing board for advice? Do we give them options? You know, what would be the tone of the presentation to the governing board? So we've been, you know, as we're preparing the materials, we were curious as to the approach. And I can show you like the agenda. These, obviously we'll have a shorter version for the, something like this, but you know, maybe is there something that we should include or focus on especially?
Yes, I think the next update should be, I believe, you know, it should be focused on the principles, right? I mean,
okay,
like the two milestones, right, at the end of the year, right, we want to be able to show, okay, you know, like one activity where the technical projects are now in LFAI, right? And the committee was, you know, intently involved in making that happen, getting the websites, getting the video series, getting the integration work with other technical projects. So that's one charter, right? So now the projects are there, the websites are set up. The second thing which we want to, like at the end of the year, have the principles document published, right? Formally published. And that's the goal. I will go that, hey, we want to, we are, this is what we have. It's a view which has originated from the participating companies. And do you have any suggestions? Otherwise, you know, we would like to make it now more formal, right? And targeting end of the year, we want this, you know, to be there out on the website, right? And ideally,
okay,
if I assume LFAI has a badging process, and I think badging is a great thing which you have added there, right? So if they can, you know, investigate, and if we can add and, you know, have a badging process where folks can get badges or projects can get badges around that, hey, this is LFAI certified, right? Certified is a very strong word, but like LFAI endorsed ethical AI project, right, in the community, something like that, that would be great.
Okay. Okay. But the main goal is to get the principles published, and then the badging, certificates, coaching, whatever would come after.
Yeah. Right. So okay. For the entry website, which we have for Trusted AI,
can you show me which website you're referring to? Because that will also help make it solid in our minds.
Yeah. So
I'll stop sharing. Okay.
So this is the entry website, right, which we have set up, right? And this is the website which is an entry into, you know, the projects which are currently specifically focused in the domain, the participants in the Trusted AI committee, the way to reach out, and then, you know, the video series, right? So I've requested access for Shaishruti and myself on this website. I believe I did get one. I have to figure out because I didn't see it in my WordPress account. But that's where, you know, we will have a section which is, you know, just like we have a section for, you know, the projects, we will have a section for, you know, the principals working group, where we, whatever collateral you create, right, by the, or before the end of the year, we want it to be published here formally on this.
Okay.
Right, if that
and makes the publication sense. Process is like, shouldn't be, you know, one of you can put it out there, is that right, after it's reviewed?
Yeah, right. So we are getting website access, and hopefully, you know, it's more straightforward once we have the access.
Once you have the access. Okay. So I'm just checking that I wrote the link right.
I'll ping the link in the chat.
Yeah, ping the link. Yep, thank you. Okay, that's very helpful. We'll continue to try and get that completed and review at least an initial solid review before going to the board. Thank you.
Maybe, I mean, you know, you can, if you want to make it more concrete, maybe, you know, Saishruti can help create a mock-up of, you know, how do we want to envision it on the website, right? In terms of these one or two collaterals, right, which you want published there. Right?
I mean, that would be great, but, you know, it's just to see what, well, let's take a look at what's there and then see how this might fit. But great suggestion.
Okay, thanks. So hopefully, you know, Trisha is able to join in a couple of minutes. Until then, anyone else, like Saishruti, do you want to update, you know, the things which are happening at your end vis-a-vis, like, the projects you are pursuing, what's happening in the R community? Are there more plans from your side and Gabriela's side to reach out in the R community vis-a-vis the Trusted AI projects? Also, the work which you are pursuing in the context of, you know, fact sheets, are there any more plans to expand it? I mean, just on our side, our first PR to get AI Explainability 360 merged in KF serving that has been done, so now officially, if somebody is using Qflow serving, right, they can generate explanations using AI Explainability 360. The next project, which we will be working on, will be the bias, so AI fairness, right, so be able to detect bias in live predictions. That's the specific next step. So, Shaishruti, do you want to talk a bit about?
Yeah. So let me start from the AI Fairness 360 project related work. So we have like two different work streams, right? One is to expand and talk about the work that we currently have. For the same, we have a bunch of conferences, and we recently presented in Open Up Summit, so which is Asia based. So we spoke about that, and we really got good response from them. And the statistics usage statistics is also good. When people interact even through Twitter, asking about, you know, asking about the tool. Also, we have people creating issues and asking about, okay, now we have the first version, just provide us more examples. So that is one part of the work stream that we have. And the other part is to expand. And, you know, we, in the first release, we had like four algorithms. Now we are working on getting more, and then make sure what are we having in Python, we have the same in R. Right. So that is one, that is the other part of the work stream. And also we have one more, like we are planning to, create a wrapper for one of the other trusted AI project as well. We are targeting art. So that work stream is going in parallel. And for fact sheet, of course, yes, like we released 4 fact sheets, and now we have added 2 more fact sheets, and we are working on adding more fact sheets as well.
That's great. I think we should probably, more so for the fact sheets, right? Because that's a concept which we don't cover as a project in the LFAI governance model, right? But it would be good, given that there is not an official project out there, right, for fact sheets, to actually, have some information around it on our main entry website. Mm-hmm. That, hey, if you are interested, so to be able to publish it, or at least point to it from there. I believe, and I'm not explicitly seen, for the Trusted AI OSS projects itself. So right now, the R work was done for AI Fairness 360. Is there a plan to expand it in the context of other 2 projects like AI Explainability and Adversarial Robustness, or you want to focus your efforts around the fairness space?
We have started working on expanding to other projects. Like, for example, we have drafted plan to create a wrapper for Adversarial Robustness Toolkit tool. So we are in the starting stage. Like, we have drafted the plan. We sat down and we drafted, okay, what are the initial components that we are going to have, right? So it's going on. Slowly, we are maintaining AF 360 and adding components, whereas we are starting a new wrap, R version as well for R2.
Okay, great. So, I see Trisha is here, and hi, Trisha, welcome to the call.
Hi, Lanesh, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for finding time. So, just before I move on, Mariana, since you are here from Montreal AI Ethics Institute, is there something coming on your side which we should be aware of, or we should be participating in? Is there something which Montreal AI Ethics Institute has plans in terms of doing more intently and closely with Linux Foundation AI?
I'm apologize. So this is the first time I joined these meetings. Camille was the one really more involved. So I guess my answer is not that I know of, but I'll make sure that I have more information next time. I apologize for this.
Okay, that's great. I mean, I keep on following posts from Abhishek, right? So he keeps on, he's very active on LinkedIn, posting a bunch of stuff which you know, Montreal AI Institute is doing, right? So yeah, if you do want, you know, the folks here to participate in any of your upcoming activities, right, it would be great, right? Like as you get ingrained into this, right, to be able to bring it up here. And, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, it makes total sense. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, Trisha, welcome. And so I think, you know, we wanted to understand from you the efforts on your side, right, on the ethics training. So if you have, you know, something to share and talk about, you know, that would be great.
Yeah, I just up-leveled the course into some slides because it's hosted in a different platform. So I just wanted to give you guys a quick view. Let me share my screen. Okay, so we support Ritika's team on Coursera learning and AI skills. So what I started to build was a course on AI fairness. And when we looked at, you know, the success of Coursera courses, they usually perform better when there's a series of courses and individuals can get a professional certificate. So this will actually be a trust series that will cover AI fairness, AI explainability, and as well as the fact sheets. And so what I wanted to do just to make it more of an end-to-end experience for the student in the Coursera course, it's going to be on the same data set and the same use case. So with that, I'll just go into the AI fairness course. So essentially what students are going to learn is how to measure and mitigate bias and do some hands-on with an end-to-end healthcare use case. The course is about 4 hours. Coursera courses need to be about 3 to 5 hours, and this will be a combination of video lectures, hands-on labs, and their assessments that they have to pass for each module. And the main target audience really are the practitioners and the data science leaders. You know, we want to get more contribution to AI Fairness 360, so you know, getting people to do some hands-on would be the way to do that. And so with that, they need to have some knowledge of data science, which is listed here, and this will be done in Python. And so I'll just kind of quickly go through the three modules in the three slides here. So the first is really about how do you approach an AI bias initiative? This is something that we're running into in the field here, as well as, you know, when presenting at events, people believe that we're able to just fix bias with some algorithms. So this is really about how do data science teams think about fairness and bias? How do they start to have the conversation with their stakeholders? And how do they familiarize themselves with some of these concepts that aren't part of a typical machine learning pipeline? And again, looking at the trade-offs between bias and accuracy, I think this is a misconception that, you know, we have this silver bullet that will solve things, but, you know, you will lose some prediction accuracy when you're removing bias. The second module is really, you know, I termed it learn the mechanics of how to measure and mitigate bias with AI Fairness 360. We don't want to convey that we can tell you how to remove bias and, you know, guide you on any use case that you have. So what we're really just going through is AI Fairness 360, sort of a zoom in, you know, what are the metrics that you have available? What is the explainer class? You know, where bias comes from, where you should try to mitigate it, and the types of algorithms that you could use throughout the pipeline. And we'll also do sort of a hands-on tutorial in this section along with a quiz. And then the final module is on the medical expenditure tutorial. So we go into a bit more depth here, but the students will run through different bias mitigation algorithms and metrics, and then they'll look at Lyme explainers to understand which features may impact bias. And so the net of it, you know, we use the Medical Expenditure Panel Survey. This is one of the largest healthcare data sets for the U.S. And algorithms have been built upon this data set, but there's been, you know, found to be a lot of racial bias. And so the net of it is that, you know, the research team has written a research paper on it, but a lot of other researchers outside of IBM have written on this. But essentially, cost is not a good proxy for healthcare treatment because less money is spent on African-American patients or any race for that matter who have the same level of need. So the algorithms are falsely concluding that African-American patients are healthier than white patients. So what we do is we kind of go through debiasing the data set and trying a few different bias mitigation algorithms, looking at the trade-offs between accuracy and bias because some methods will more significantly reduce your prediction accuracy. And then we look at correcting for bias drift in patient data because that drift occurs not in the first year, but in the second. And then we look at the Lyme explainers. And in a lot of ways, this may help, say, nurses or doctors to say, you know, does this, you know, prediction of whether a patient will have high utilization of health afflictions that they have so they can, you know, visually see that. But we do end on, you know, humans are required in this scenario to ensure that there's fairness in the results. So that is the sort of three modules, and the goal is to have this done by November. We're going to launch this internally as a course at IBM for 2 weeks, which is the new way the Coursera team is working, and then it'll be launched through Coursera shortly after. So I'll stop there if there's any questions.
Thanks. This looks great. I mean, so one thing which I do like is, you know, that even though you're including, you know, the explainability aspects, right, as I see one of the things using Lyme explainers in healthcare, etc., you're sort of leading it, you know, from a fairness course module perspective, right? So I think that's a way, great way to, you know, sort of combine that. A lot of the folks I've seen in the industry are sort of, you know, doing the reverse where, you know, they're putting bias under the category of explainers, right? So if you need to know whether it's biased or not, right? I mean, that's an explainability thing. So I think, you know, taking a reverse way where, you know, the focus is on fairness and bias, that's a better way to approach it. When you mentioned, Trisha, that this is going to be a series, you expect more to follow on after this, or this is your three module series?
No, this is just one course for AI fairness and bias. The second will be explainability. So essentially, it'll be, you know, a large part of that will be the masterclass that was done on explainability. But what we want to add to that is sort of a front end, which is why is this important? How do you approach this in your team? And then, you know, essentially the same masterclass content. And then we go more heavily into explainability with the same data set and the same use case. So the student can look at it from this perspective on that data set, and then they can look at it from, you know, the explainability toolkit. And then the third course will include the fact sheets, which is, you know, how do you produce a fact sheet on the same data set and use case.
Okay. When you say, how do you produce a fact sheet? I believe, you know, currently what is out there is, you know, the semantics of the fact sheet, right? What you should have in a fact sheet.
Correct.
There is, we don't have, at least from, you know, IBM perspective, right? A project which essentially, you know, can produce it in a more programmatic manner, right?
Right. Yeah. It's taking the research team quite a while, right, for the, I think their home mortgage Disclosure Act. For this one, because of time, we're going to build out a more stripped down version, which would be more for, say, the data scientist is the, you know, both personas, right? They'll be the consumer of that fact sheet and the user. So, you know, most of the fact sheet course will be on the background of it, right? The learning of it, and the smaller component will be on this healthcare use case. And this actual is production of a fact sheet.
And this healthcare data set is a real world data set, right?
Yep. So it's here, and this is the largest set of healthcare data on the cost and use of healthcare in the US. So this is what we're pulling from.
Thanks. This is great, right? I mean, we would probably even as we talk through this, right, we would like to use as you create some examples around, you know, this real world data set. I mean, we have used examples in the past with the notebook, which comes embedded in AI Fairness 360 around, you know, the bias in a healthcare scenario, but that was more, you know, hypothetical scenario. Now that you have a real world data set, right, it will be great to expand that.
Yep. Yeah, and I think the current notebook maybe only goes up to 2016, so we're going to go up to the latest data. It ends around 2018, so I think about 4 years of data, so we can see a lot of the bias drift.
Anyone else has questions for Tricia? Okay, if not, thanks. I think one of the things we would want to do, Tricia, is as you get your course published, right, we would want to, you know, publish it through the trusted LFAI Trusted AI website, right, in terms of, you know, having a pointer to it for folks, you know, who are looking for a course to get, you know, ingrained in this project. So I'm not sure if you're aware of, you know, the projects have now move to LFAI, right? They have their own web pages, etc., right? So I think it will be good to figure out, you know, where we can highlight that as part of this, right? So if you need to, you know, go through a Coursera course to understand these projects, right?
Yeah, that would be great. And I think particularly bias, there does need to be some training. So this will help, I think, some of the customers trying to look at this as well.
And the certificate which someone will get is a Coursera course completion certificate.
Right, right. Yeah, we have an official team here who's running all the AI skills Coursera courses.
Okay. Cool. Thanks. That's pretty much from my side. Anything else anyone wants to bring up? You were trying to say Alejandro something, but wasn't able to hear it.
Well, I just said nothing from my side.
Okay. Thanks. Then thanks, everyone. Thanks for being here. And thanks, Tricia, right, for presenting on the course. Excited, you know, to see how it turns out. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everyone, for the update. Bye for now. Bye.